House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa is accusing the White House of violating the Hatch Act. He's demanding the Obama administration turn over documents related to the reopening of its Office of Political Outreach and Strategy during an election year. In this week's Legal Loop, we examine the do's and don'ts of the Hatch Act. Joining us is employment attorney Joshua Rose, senior associate at the law firm Tully Rinke. Joshua, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Tom. And we do try to keep people employed, not unemployed.
Yes, right. And I try to read through scripts here. So tell us the history of these White House political offices. I mean, what are the rules for those? Because I think every White House has one, doesn't it?
Certainly, historically, the White House is engaged in politics. That's no surprise to anybody. The current controversy has to do with the use of the White House political office during the 2006 midterms. There was a report that came out from the Office of Special Counsel, which investigates things like this, in 2011, and they found that the office at that time was engaged in things that were clear violations of the Hatch Act. They were engaged in partisan political activity, using government facilities, using government money, things that are simply plainly prohibited by the Hatch Act. The report came out, and the reaction to that, even though Obama had set up a similar office in 2009, he shut it down and moved it to outside of the White House in 2011. And what's happening now is the administration, with a new midterm election coming up, is saying, well, we need to be able to coordinate with Congress members who have political issues to speak to us with, and we need people in the White House who can help advise us on this. And Representative Issa is having hearings to investigate in precisely the same way that the Office of Special Counsel investigated the Bush administration in 2006. He's saying, well, you know, you might have used the email, you might have used the phones, you might have used the budget in improper ways to support political activity.
So, you know, just by virtue of the fact that the White House has an Office of Political Activity, I think raises questions about whether or not it violates the Hatch Act. Why? What can these offices do that are within the boundaries of the law?
Well, the 2011 report draws a distinction that I think is consistent with the purpose of the act. The president is engaged in politics every minute of every day. Nobody doubts that. So are most Congress people. So to say that he can't be engaged in politics is not sensible. And he needs to have political advice. He needs to have people who are following things for him. He needs to have people who can tell him how to deal with this issue and that issue. So the idea of having an office to give the president advice, that's always been the purpose of a White House political office. It strays into improper territory when federal facilities, federal assets, start getting used for partisan activity. You're supposed to have a clear firewall between partisan activity and government activity, and that gets harder when your job is essentially to advise the president about partisan activity.
So give me an example of the political advice that is okay versus one that is considered partisan.
Well, if the president needs advice on how this issue might play out in a certain district, that would seem to be legitimate advice. But if the same person uses government email to send messages to constituents in that district, that would be a pretty clear violation of the act.
So if people are in the White House doing this, then there's a much greater likelihood that they could be in violation. What about career people that might be supporting them through telecommunications services or whatever the standing staff of the White House does? Would that inadvertently pull them into the political effort?
If your job is to maintain a telephone and somebody improperly uses the telephone, then you probably are not guilty of violating the act because you are not the one who did it. If you are the one making the phone call, you should be very careful that what you're doing is not partisan activity. If you're uncertain in any way, shape, or form, the best thing to do is to contact your agency's ethics counselor. If you have sought an opinion of an ethics counselor or even a private lawyer, but better an ethics counselor and a private lawyer, if you've gotten an opinion and you're acting in good faith based on that opinion and you've fully disclosed what the issues are, you're probably pretty safe. Most agencies give you a formal safe harbor if you've done that.
And given that this is an election year and that a very active House Republican is now looking into what the White House is doing now, what will the White House have to show in terms of evidence to show that it isn't crossing this line, which might seem a little fuzzy, at least from the outside?
Well, the way you phrased the question is not the way I think of it. When a person is accused of violating a law, typically the prosecutor has to prove that he violated it. So the burden should be on the people trying to prove a violation. And that's why Representative Issa and his committee are seeking email records and phone records to see if government assets were improperly used. Now, the fact that he's making an investigation may create a political desire to cause the spin to go the other way, but that's not a technical legal issue.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is it goes beyond the legality of it, doesn't it, into the realm of politics and optics, if you will.
It certainly does, and my expertise is in law, and to prove a violation, you have to show willful misuse of government assets, willful participation in a political campaign, willful pressuring of your subordinates, that sort of thing. If you're an FBI agent, you have special restrictions. If you're a senior executive service person, you have special restrictions. Those people have to be even more careful than ordinary employees because their offices are such that they could be seen as coercing people. But if you how the president can deal with this is obviously a political question. How the law is violated is by intent. So the prosecutor or the congressional committee would actually have to show that somebody did it on purpose. They misused a government asset and they knew they were doing it.
We're speaking with Joshua Rose. He's senior associate at Tully Rinke. And let's talk about the 2012 election, after which there was a big piece of campaign apparatus that the Obama administration gave to an outside group. Ostensibly, this group was devoted to the agenda that the president wanted to keep pursuing. So when you hand over email lists, social media contacts, all this kind of thing, what kind of care do you have to take as a federal employee before you give out those assets to an outside group that's very closely aligned with your agenda but doesn't technically work for the government?
Well, I suppose it's an interesting question whether those assets, the lists and things, are in fact a federal asset or a political asset. I think as a federal employee, you'd want to be very careful and you'd want to get advice from your ethics office and lawyers before you participate in anything political. But if you have become, in fact, a political operative and you're no longer working for the federal government and you're working now for the Democratic Republican National Committee, your job changes and the Hatch Act doesn't apply. So I think it depends when you cross that line.
I just have a general question about the Hatch Act, given that we're going into an election season. There are still allegations and somewhat some more investigations into activity that happened a couple of years ago, 2012 or beyond. Is there any statute of limitations on the Hatch Act? And similarly, is there any time limit that the Office of Special Counsel, must meet where they have to declare or have to recommend to the president whether or not somebody did violate a Hatch Act?
I honestly don't know the technical answer to that question. I can tell you that the 2011 report had to do with activities that happened in 2006. As a practical matter, there probably is a lack of interest after a certain number of years, but apparently 5 years is not too long.
Joshua Rose is a senior associate at the law firm Tully Rinke. Joshua, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you.